Chapter 21, Success at Blackmail. Maria emailed Luis. She felt as if she had come full circle. It was like that song, "Shall the Circle Be Unbroken." It was going over and over in her mind. She couldn't wait to tell the public, but she knew she must wait. Meanwhile, Steve and Maria met with their detective, Richard, who brought along an FBI operative. They discussed the case for a while, then called Steve's friend James on the detective's cell phone.
"I want you to understand that even if this doesn't work," James said, "you can be assured the people who raised you are not your real parents. I should have told you, but my life had been threatened. The FBI has promised to hide me and the other witnesses in a foreign country until they bring in the whole string of criminals who they believe your parents are connected with. When that happens, I think the mob will lose interest in me. I don't want to live in this darkness anymore. You lost solid ground to stand on, and I lost my testament to the truth. I traded the stability promise for being truthful for a piece of cheese. I stole that line from the Bible. One of Jacob's sons did that. His name was Reuben."
"I've heard the story of Reuben before, and I don't really blame you," Steve responded. "And I don't want to lose a friend. It's very hard to find them. I just hope this works, so I won't be wondering what the real truth is. I'm grateful to you for risking your life for me. I still wonder whether we will ever know the whole truth and be able to define fact from fiction, game from reality. As to my personal fight with truth, when I was younger, you know, I used to lie all the time about using drugs. I think they can teach enlightenment, but in large quantities they make me psychotic. But even a few puffs and I feel too guilty. Why does the truth have to be hidden in such surreptitiousness? I will soon be free from bondage to bad relatives, but the world of psychedelic drugs and the young who take them will still be trapped by the stigma of illness and also by the fact that criminals sell it to them. It's still like a bright light in a dark world. I was so spiritually shallow that I thought my surreptitiousness was a sign of hidden truth in itself. I thought darkness was the true nature of the world." Steve said this, trying to compare his weaknesses to the man who would betray his supposed parents.
"We constantly have to mold ourselves to a more truthful way of life," James responded.
"I woke up to life from a twilight existence," Steve added. "An Indian taught me a story about the Navajos who believed once upon a time the earth was in a twilight without the true sun. I guess we all, at times in our lives, live on a primordial level. Hopefully within a week I will have real proof of who my parents are. I don't want to live with the Napoleonic truth or those kidnappers being guilty until proven innocent. I want this carved in stone. I want this written in American law. Please keep in contact. When you return to the U.S. from hiding, I'd like to talk to you again. If we are allowed to talk again, I won't forget you." Steve hung up the phone. While they waited for an answer from the detective, Steve, Maria, Frank, and Bev, and the painter communicated by email. In the meantime, Frank and Bev moved to San Francisco permanently. They dropped by Steve and Maria's house one day to discuss events and especially their emails to Luis.
"I've been going up to the observatory to refresh my knowledge of telescopes," Frank said. "I was talking with Kathy, the one you hired to analyze Maria's handwriting. She was often there at night while I was up there. I mentioned the possibility of starting a telescope building company, and she offered to help us if we should need it."
Then Frank and Bev said they had some problems with the software the FBI had installed on their computers so they could have a secure email connection with the painter. But aside from the annoying glitches, which they admitted probably had more to do with the users than the software itself, it worked fairly well for them. Bev said, "We talked a long time with the painter via email about telescopes. He asked how hard it would be for him to learn and whether he could help start the telescope building company. We told him that for many stages he could handle quality control, especially in the early grinding stages, if and when he was able to come to San Francisco. I told him the accuracy needed when using coarse grinding powders in the first shaping of the mirrors was minimal. He was thrilled. He thought many times the world has directed its awareness to the stars and that spiritual rescue always started with a glimmer of hope, much like a star in the sky. He said sometimes he lacked focus and a sense of focusing on completeness in his soul and wished to try to refocus his life. He said he had finally found himself, but many times he had to alter his view and scope of understanding. He wants to practice meditation to redevelop and make his enlightenment more rounded. He said he wants to polish his cognitive understanding by applying himself to the goal of grinding and polishing telescope mirrors." Steve and Maria said they had gotten an email from the detective. He had confirmed that the CIA would gather their own DNA evidence to prove that Maria's relatives were imposters. They didn't want to risk their running when the U.S. government peacefully intervened with the mafiosos who were running Colombia. The FBI contacted Steve about the blackmailer, and Steve was allowed one more time to talk with the fellow who was blackmailing his so-called parents. Steve, as usual, got philosophical. It seems that life doesn't come with a full promise. Things have been left unsaid for many years. I should have known about my kidnapping from the beginning. Aside from having a few friends, I've never been mentored or taught much of anything by anyone. People are afraid to bare their hearts. It seems that they can't afford to surrender to the total truth. Even I had a problem about giving my heart fully to the truth, forever hiding my drug use. It seems we have to borrow understanding all the time. I will let you borrow my understanding, James. I understand that you could have been killed if you'd revealed my kidnapper.
We only get credit for being worthy for set periods of time, and I have used up all my time with you, said James. My time has expired, but hopefully by starting my life over again, helping you catch these kidnappers, I'll be in good standing again. Unfortunately, I'll have to hide for a while. Truth sometimes has to hide. I can't tell you anything about what we've been doing, but I think I can say it has gone well. I'm almost positive that this is the last time I'll be able to talk with you. Adios.
Steve had a hard time waiting for the results from the FBI and the detective, but sooner rather than later, they informed him that they had succeeded in blackmailing the man who'd kidnapped Steve. They meant to keep it secret until they caught more suspects connected to the kidnapping. The FBI said that the people who had been posing as his parents had been laying low under extreme surveillance, not associating with the mob, but they seemed willing to talk freely in hopes they would get fairer treatment. The FBI asked Steve to be quiet for a month or so until they exhausted their ability to bring in more people involved with the kidnapping. Maria laughed. So this is what born again means. Get it? It's as if we weren't born before. No matter what we did, we couldn't become born because we didn't have a valid birth certificate to prove that we had been. But now we do. Neither of us can remember anything before the age of two. We see the world now like new babies. It is to be noted in the new way we look at the world because I remember something from when I was talking to the counselor at the clinic where I started taking psychiatric meds. Back then, I was a doubting Thomas about everything. Many people we know will change the way they treat us, like my doctor did. She used to try to twist me around, trying to pigeonhole me, but you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. She seemed to believe my life was without trouble, and I had no right to act as if I wasn't born, so to speak. She treated me as if I had well-placed roots and was complaining about being in a condition that was near perfect. She treated me as if what I thought was impossible, and I was a spoiled brat. I think I have learned that I do suffer from some mild brain damage and mild mental illness, which has made me partly dysfunctional. The FBI said they would keep in contact and left. They had been surprisingly polite. Frank and Bev had joined them for this meeting, and as the FBI departed, Maria addressed a subject she hadn't had much time to discuss for a while. It seemed the time was right to bring it up again.